Let's get back to our program. Before the break, I was asking Joshua P. Warren, our guest, Joshua, I was asking you about a realistic scenario in my wanting to succeed at gambling, so to speak. And you had some success at Michigan Paracon with taking $10 and turning it into $500. So you teased me and said after the break you would tell me the successes of how, or rather how I could become a successful gambler. So go ahead and enlighten us right now, sir, as to how we go about doing that.
Well, you know, in this book, Use the Force, I talk, for example, about when you manifest, how specific you should be versus how specific you should not be. And one example I give is if you want, say, a new car. Let's say you want an Aston Martin.
Okay.
Well, that should be, you know, relatively easy to manifest. Now, if you want an Aston Martin DB5, well, that's going to be a little tougher because you're getting more specific. But if you want the Aston Martin DB5 that Sean Connery drove in Goldfinger, now you're getting so specific that your intention is going to be going directly up against the intentions of many other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you are gambling, if you decide that you want to go for the lottery, well, you have to realize that the lottery is probably the worst way you can gamble because you have hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people who are all focusing on the exact same prize in one way or another. And so what you're doing is just pitting your intention up against all these others. On the other hand, when you walk into a casino, you have much, much better odds if you know the correct strategy. And that's because the attention in a casino is distributed all over the place. And each person is paying attention to his or her own machine. And that's not directly affecting what you're doing on your machine. And I'm just using slot machines as an example.
Okay.
Because I do very well at slot machines. So I would say, first off, you should always try to go into a casino. Now, if you're going to go to a casino, and by the way, I love to gamble. It's fun for me. And I know that there are people who have a problem and they blow all their money. They can't stop. I'm not saying this is for everybody. But If you're going to do it, make sure that you only go into the casino when you are feeling good. Don't ever go in when you're having a bad day. Walk into the casino when you already have a positive attitude, when maybe something nice has happened to you already. Somebody's paid you a compliment, or you got a parking space when you didn't think you were going to get one, or, you know, some little thing like that that makes you feel like things are flowing your way. Now, once you pick, say, your game, and again, we'll just stick with slot machines for the sake of simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing, and this is so important, and this is where most people, this is where 99% of the people go wrong. When you sit down in front of the machine and you put your money in and you spin the machine and you don't win, there's a little part of you subconsciously that goes, ah, those greedy SO, you know, they've taken my money once again, right?
Yep.
Well, you have to immediately stop feeling that way when you don't win. Because what you have to do is think of it this way. Every time you spin and you don't win, that money is actually going eventually to a real person out there somewhere, somehow. And that is a real person with a real family that has bills to pay, that probably has kids to feed, that has expenses. And every time that you spin that and you don't win, you shouldn't think of yourself as losing that money. You should think of yourself as giving that money to somebody else and doing it with a good, positive spirit in a charitable way. And when you make that shift so that you feel like when you don't win, it's okay because you're actually doing something positive by affecting another person's life in a positive way, well, guess what? The whole point of using the force is that what you project out has to, absolutely must, come back to you. It is a physical law. It's sympathetic resonance. When you start feeling that when you are not winning, you're helping somebody else, suddenly that energy is going to reverse and it's going to come back to you and you are going to start winning. And so it's all about the mindset that you have when you don't win that determines how the tide is going to change so that you do start winning.
So let me throw this at you then and ask you why this isn't a true law if what you've just stated happens the way it happens. So let's use Mega Millions Powerball as a result. In the state of Minnesota here, when you gamble and you buy a Powerball ticket, your money goes towards the environmental fund. So if I go in and I buy a Powerball ticket with not saying no intention of winning, of course my intention is winning, but if I say to myself, okay, if I don't win, at least it's gone towards the environment, it's gone towards outdoor preservation, I'm fine with it. Wouldn't that give you an edge up over somebody who's going, I got to win it to feed my family?
Oh, it will certainly give you an advantage. But the problem is that the game itself is a game that is being targeted by so many other people. So that at that point, you also have to consider mathematical statistics. I mean, you know, mathematical statistics are a real tangible part of how these games are designed to work. And so that's why you want to start with a game that does not have so many odds against you so that the positivity and the mindset that you project has a greater impact and a greater ability to influence those odds. And so that's why it's much, much better when you have a sort of personalized, almost a closed circuit relationship there with a particular game that you are the only one playing at any given time, mm-hmm. Versus stepping into a pool where you have, you know, so many other people all focusing essentially on the same thing.
Understandable. Now, I thought I had heard you say something on one of our previous shows to Dave about how somebody who had used the wishing machine had won the lottery, and this One of those things I wanted to ask you about, because initially we were talking about the wishing machine. It was suggested that you not use it for that purpose. Now, can you tell us how somebody ended up winning the lottery with the wishing machine?
Well, sure. You know, let me start by saying, I've mentioned this on the show before, when I bought my very first wishing machine, and this was probably like 15 or so years ago, I paid $300 for it. And some of these machines cost thousands of dollars. Frankly, I don't think there's any reason that you should pay that much. If you've got a machine that costs a few hundred, they work the same way.
Right.
And the first thing I did was I wished for my $300 back. And I was focusing on that $300 figure. And sure enough, a couple days later, I got an invitation out of the blue to do a very easy, brief speaking engagement, and they paid me $300. Exactly the amount that I was asking for. So you can actually stay focused on a fixed amount of money, but what I have found over the years of experimenting is you're much, much, much better off if you skip the money part altogether and you just use the wishing machine for what you actually want. And that's because these machines, which are mind-powered machines, they're not functioning from the energy that comes out of the intellectual side of the brain. They're functioning from the creative and feeling side, the right side of the brain. As a matter of fact, if you want to compare this to, say, ancient magic spells, the reason that people say gibberish, you know, abracadabra, bibbidi-bobbidi-boo, things that don't make sense, is to distract the logical side of the brain, the critical side of the brain, so that the creative and feeling side can take over. And it's really feelings that have controlled how human beings have evolved. The feeling of love, for example, is in many ways an illogical feeling if it's not for the fact that it helps us to propagate the species.
Mm-hmm.
So that said, if you're going to wish for something in particular, make sure that the thing you wish for is something that is connected to your feelings. So if I say I want $1 million so I can have a mansion on a cliff with the waves crashing on the shore, forget wishing for $1 million. Focus on the mansion, and because this is where you tap into your feelings. And that's also very strongly stressed in the Star Wars series. You know, trust your feelings. Feel the force flowing through you. feelings is the engine that makes all this work, and so you're better off if you skip the money, because money is just a means to an end, and money's not something that really even makes a lot of logical sense these days. I mean, we know that our dollar is based upon a bunch of individuals who are sitting out there printing money, choosing to raise and lower interest rates. The economy is not some natural force of nature. It's an artificial man-made dynamic. And therefore, if you just sort of remove this mysterious thing called money from the equation and go for what you want, you'll often find that you can get what you want for even much less money than you ever thought was necessary to attain it.
But how does this person use the wishing machine to win the lottery if money was not their object?
Well, that goes back to me wishing for the $300. So obviously, it can work. You can wish for money. You can wish to win the lottery. And I think that, you know, in some cases, if you're very proficient and you're using the right mental technique, that approach can work for you. But I don't think that it's as successful. I think that the guy who used the wishing machine to hit the lottery was also just, you know, a guy who probably was very fortunate for a number of reasons. I'm not sure what the purpose of his winning was. I'm not sure what he wanted to get with it. He didn't tell me that. And, of course, I think that also has a role to play, because when you need something in particular and you're very clear about what you need and what you want, then that may just be something that happens as, you know, something almost trivial to help take you to that step to get what you want. And so that's why you have people who hit the lottery all the time and horrible things happen to them. You know, I even wrote in this book about a guy who won a $20 million lottery.
Mm-hmm.
This is a true story. He was very generous. He bought his family new houses, new cars. And his sister-in-law felt that she didn't get enough. And so she and her boyfriend concocted a scheme to kidnap him and hold him for ransom. Things went awry, and so he ended up being shot and killed by them.
And so
obviously it was him winning the lottery that ruined his life. And to a certain extent, if you just put the trust in what you want, the universe might show you a way to get what you want rather than giving you this other way that you think is the right way that may not be the best way, that might actually be hurtful for you. I mean, if you won that lottery, you might end up in prison because of some tax issue, or you might find that it affects you in a very detrimental way psychologically because people start treating you differently. And so it's a mistake to just focus on the idea that a bunch of money is the answer instead of just going for what you want.